Good to be with you this morning. It's been a while since I've been able to stand here on a regular basis, and it's just good to always be back with you. Many of you know that I've gone through two major surgeries over the last roughly 3 to 4 months. And these have been sort of trying times for me and my family. Back last beginning of October, they told me they needed to go in and make a very small tweak to one of my valves in my heart. And they're going to go in the side. It would be minimal operation. I'll be back in 2 to 4 weeks. In fact, I'd already laid down a schedule. I'd be back preaching by Christmas. Well, they went in right around Thanksgiving, and they found out because my heart wasn't pumping like it should, my lung had collapsed. And so I had major lung surgery, which I'm still recovering from. And during that recovery, surgery, whenever you have major surgery, there's always a lot of pain. And the one thing I can remember keeping track of was when my next pain meds were going to come. Every 4 hours. And we had it written up on the board there in my room when those 4 hours were. And I was supposed to be in the hospital for 2 or 3 days. I ended up being there almost 2 weeks because the lung wasn't draining the way it was supposed to. And you go through surgeries like that, and it's hard to keep a upbeat life. And when you're going through surgery and you know you've got another surgery to come, they told me I was going to have now open heart surgery. And as much as they tell you open heart surgery is routine and they do it, when they tell you that they're going to open up your chest cavity and tweak with your heart, there's stress in that. It's hard to accept that without being stressed out. What I'd like to talk to you about, how do you get through times like that? Sometimes we just have times in our lives which we face despair. How do we get through those times? I can say it's not a happy time, but it's a time when you can have peace. And that peace comes from our hope that we have in our Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit about our hope, the hope that sees us through these times. When other things, we don't see how we're going to get through. But when we have the hope in the Lord, we can get through these times. It's not a hope that God's going to make everything right. When you face surgery, you don't know if you're going to come through that surgery. But we know that on the other side of this, regardless of what happens, the Lord's going to be there for you. That we have that eternal promise that comes from our Lord. And that's what we're taking a look at this morning, is that hope that we have, the eternal promises that we have from our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 13, we have a great chapter on love. If you're not familiar with that, it's a very short chapter, but it goes through love, and it goes through all the different aspects of love. And at the end of it, Paul's talking about the great spiritual gifts. He said these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so we think about those three: faith, hope, and love. We think a lot about our love. The great commands of God is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. In fact, it goes on, both Paul and John say that if you love your neighbor, that's how you show your love for God. And we think about our faith because in our faith we have our salvation. But why do we think about hope? That little word that's sort of in between those two. Do we really focus on hope the way that we should? This morning, we're going to take a look at hope. In the book of Colossians, Paul introduces, in the first chapter, he uses hope three times. And I want you to look with me at just a little bit how he introduces this little idea of hope. Look at how he begins the book of Colossians in verses 1 through 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because, and the NIV has actually springing from, the hope laid up for you in heaven. Now notice what he's saying about hope. What gives you the foundation of your faith and your love? We talk about the importance of faith and love, but where do they come from? He says your faith and your love are founded in your hope. It's from your hope that gives you your faith and gives you your love. Sometimes we miss that point. We think about faith comes from hearing the Word of God and living the good Christian life, and it does. But what sees us through times when we question our faith? And there are times when we do question our faith. And we've seen that before in the very Psalms that we have of David. We have one quoted by Jesus himself. my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry to you day and night, but you do not answer. I find no rest. Those are the words Jesus actually quoted on the cross. And there are many psalms of lament like that. And there are times in our lives where we wonder, where is God? We cry out to Him. Our faith tells us He should be there for us. But we don't always hear Him quite like we want to. It's our hope that bridges us past that, that gives us to the end point, that we know, however this world will be, that our Lord will be, that that promise of eternity is with our Lord. Look at the next, in a few verses later, Paul says, if indeed you continue in your faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Notice again, hope is laid as a foundation for your faith. And at the very end, he brings out these words. The glory of this mystery, that is the gospel, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's the hope we're talking about. It's not a hope that everything's going to be right in this world. It's that hope of that final glory that we're going to have with our Lord. That's the hope that we have. The hope of eternity. And that's the promise that we have from our Lord. There's a story that we... One more passage. And this is one that really dealt with me when I lay there in the hospital wondering what was going to happen. The peace that we have. We don't always have everything else going, but we can still have that peace that surpasses understanding. Peace I leave with you. This is what Jesus said to His disciples. He was going to the cross, and He knew when He was crucified, they were going to run away. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were going to have grief. And He gives them these words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There's times in this world we can be afraid, but we turn back to our Lord, and He can give us peace. Most of us know, growing up, if you went to Vacation Bible School or other Sunday schools, the story of Zacchaeus. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? He was a short little man. Jesus was coming through the town of Jericho, and there was lots of crowds of people always around Jesus. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he was short. And so he climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. Now, it's an easy thing to talk about that story. Most of us knew when we were growing up, we climbed up in trees. I can remember taking my grandchildren to the park, and we got slides and all these different things there. And there's a couple of trees out on the side. Instead of going on the slides, they go over and climb trees. And that's what a lot of us did when we were growing up. We climbed trees, right? But how many of us now, as adults and maybe at least middle-aged, how many times have you gone out and climbed a tree? I haven't climbed a tree in a couple of years anyway. And Zacchaeus climbs up in this tree. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. That means he was rich. He was also well-educated, basically a CPA, and probably knew Greek and Latin. So he was well-educated, rich, probably middle-aged. Yet he climbed up in the sycamore tree to see Jesus. Most of us know the story. If you look on, this is in Luke chapter 19. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, to see Jesus as he passes. For he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Now if you read on down, the end of which Jesus says, salvation has now come to this house. Why was Zacchaeus joyful? If you read on in the story, Zacchaeus says, I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor. So as far as the world was concerned, he was not going to be as wealthy tomorrow as he was today. It wasn't for earthly gain that Zacchaeus was happy. He was happy because he had found the Lord. And in the Lord, you can have joy. That's what Zacchaeus found. And he found that not the way the world offers it, but the way Jesus offers it. We can have that joy, that peace that comes when we find the Lord. And that's the hope that we have. And the hope we'll be taking a look at today. I have two passages I'd like to share with you this morning. The first is a little bit longer. It comes from the great chapter of Romans. If you look at one of the great chapters of all the Bible, it's Romans chapter 8. And this is just one little part of that chapter. And we're just going to briefly go through a few of the verses. I'm actually going to go back and read a few verses before what's on the screen. If you go back just a few verses, this screen starts with verse 18. But if you go back to verse 16, it says, "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him." Then picking up in verse 18. "For I consider the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and attain a freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see, and we wait for it with patience." Now there's much we can see in these verses. But Paul starts in showing that our present circumstances don't compare with the glory that will come. We don't let the circumstances of this world, the things that are happening to us now, determine our attitude. Because we have that glory waiting for us that's going to so outweigh it. Then he goes to the creation itself. This natural creation around us is not the way that it should be. There's a lot of people who say, well, if God is all-powerful and all-good, why doesn't things work a little bit better? But the whole idea of this creation is just like us. It's waiting for that coming glory. There's a time when everything will be set made free and made good and made anew. But that time's not yet. We wait for that at the resurrection. But the creation is with us, waiting for those days, waiting for that to come, waiting for our adoption as children of God. He brings out the idea, we are children of God now, but there's a time when that adoption will be complete. It's not complete yet. We wait for it. But it will come a time when we will be just like Christ. Now that's a hard thing to really think about. But that's what these verses say. That we will be like Christ. We will be adopted as children. And we wait for it with patience. And that's something we don't always maybe have quite like we need to have. We wait for it with patience. Not to be fulfilled here, but knowing that it will be fulfilled for all eternity. There's a song that we sing that we're going to sing even this morning. And that song has this as the phrase in the song, "It is well with my soul." The song goes like this, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, whatever my circumstances, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Now that song was written by a man named Spafford. And he grew up in Chicago. He was a famous lawyer and businessman in Chicago in the 1870s. In the 1870s, he invested heavily in all the real estate around Chicago. In 1871, there was a great fire in Chicago that wiped out all of his investments. So he knew what it was to have a financial disaster on his hands. That same year, his four-year-old son came down with scarlet fever and died, losing a son that year. A couple years later, he decided to take a vacation. He had recovered somewhat financially, evidently, to go over to Europe. And so he took his family, and they were going to go to Europe for a vacation. Due to business he was in, he sent his wife and his four daughters on ahead of him. And they went on a ship ahead of him, and he was going to come on the next ship. Well, the ship that they were on was struck by another ship. And the ship was actually cut in two and sank almost immediately. He received a telegram from his wife when she finally got to England. And when he received that telegram, he took the next ship over to be with his wife. And that's when he wrote this song on the voyage after he received this telegram. And this is the beginning of the telegram. Now, the last part of it says, that goes on to what his wife was going to do and also the other people on. The part I blanked out, this is the part about his family. And this is what his wife sent to him. And it was with this telegram in his pocket as he was going over to England that he wrote this song. And notice what it says. Saved alone. His four daughters had all been killed in that ship. This man had lost his son. He lost his four daughters. He had financial setbacks. And he writes this song. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, he knew what sorrows were. Whatever my lot, whatever my circumstances, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We don't let our circumstances determine our attitudes. He knew what it was to undergo the sorrows of this life. Yet he could see past it because of the hope that he has in Jesus Christ. And he lived his life that way. He was at one time an elder of his church. We're going to end the day with one more scripture. And this is our scripture reading that comes from the book of John. It's very similar to what Paul says in Romans 8. If you look over to John in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we are has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. And because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Now what John brings out is similar to what Paul. We are God's children now. As Paul says, we've been given the first fruits of His Spirit. We are the Spirit of God indwells within us. But that final glory that we will have, the sort of our adoption as children of God, we wait for that. When that comes, we will be just like Him. We looked a few weeks ago at what the resurrection of Christ meant, what He was like. That's the way we will be. We will have that kind of body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 outlines that idea. And you can go back and look at 15, and he talked about what the resurrection will be like. We will have a body like His, but we wait for it. We don't have it yet. We wait for it. That's the hope that we have. The hope of glory, not for this world, but for all eternity in our Lord. And that's what gets us through the times of despair in this life. One of the passages we read last week, the experience of hope is that a triumph over the conditions and circumstances which are calculated to produce despair. That hope gets us by. And it ends with this hope purifies us. We will be like Christ, not just in physical body like His, but we will be pure like Him because of the hope that we have in Him. It gives us patience and it gives us purity coming from the hope. That hope is the foundation of our faith and our love. Just a few ideas, and the thoughts are yours this morning. Our hope is in the Lord, and it's that eternal hope. It's a hope of the eternal glory when our Lord comes again, and it doesn't depend on our circumstances, which we have now. A hope provides the foundation for our faith and our love, our very relationship with our Lord. It gives us that patience that we're able to overcome this world and have the hope of eternal life. Hope brings patience in trials and sufferings, even the despair that we sometimes face in this world. And we do, from time to time, face troubles in this world. The hope purifies us and brings us into remembrance that we are children of God. Both these two passages talk about the fact that we are children of God. And as Jesus brings out, as an earthly father, we know how to take care of our children. Do we not think our heavenly Father knows how to take care of us? We are children of God now and for all eternity. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. This morning, think about your life if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you have this hope. If you're not, there's no better time to put Christ on than this day. If you need to come forward in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.